half of the booklet on temptation, Biblical Answers for Everyday Problems. And the second half of these little booklets go into practical strategies after understanding those everyday problems from a biblical perspective. It goes into practical strategies. And I found this a very good booklet, and I have more here than I think I have time for, so I'm going to go fairly quickly through seven steps, and I have maybe 2 minutes or 1.5 minutes on each. So, get ready. Here we go. Fight temptation by knowing yourself. As with several of the authors that we have been dealing with in these little booklets, they have a very nice approach of understanding the sin that is confronting us and understanding our relationship to God and relationship to that temptation. And it revolves around something not just physical or circumstantial. More often than not, what we are dealing with is a worship issue. What is most important in your life? And that thing that is most important, we would identify as an idol. And because of that, to recognize who you are and what your tendencies are, what is it that you are desiring at that time more than you're desiring Jesus? Think back to the examples of the beginning of that little booklet. Bob would come home from work tired and bothered and then would take it out on the family. What does Bob desire? Bob desires comfort for self or desires respect. And when his wife and children don't give him that, they intrude on his comfort or his sense of respect and then become impatient and angry. John desires pleasure. Again, no specific, these are general names. John desires pleasure, wants to be desired by women and finds satisfaction in pornography. The example of Kristen, who lived for success and achievement, personal acknowledgement and affirmation, and found those accomplishments in work rather than in God's affirmation. It takes time to understand yourself, so fight temptation by knowing yourself. What's motivating you, not just in moments of crises, but in all of the day, so that during all of that day you can be answering questions like this. What is it that makes your life worth living? When are you most content? When do you get angry? What are you getting that you don't want? What are you getting, what are you not getting that you do want? Those are the questions that the author Lane suggests to help you to understand who you are. Take time to observe patterns, study yourself and your responses. Second, become aware of typical circumstances. This is closely related. Are there specific times or specific situations when you typically face temptation? Are there certain people, certain situations? Is there a certain time of the day? Do you especially find temptation hard to resist when you're discouraged? So lots of things like that. Again, very much like knowing yourself, you need to know those circumstances that are dangerous for you and the times of vulnerability. Third, don't minimize the mundane nature of the fight. By this, what Lane is identifying is that the sin that's committed on Saturday may have started in temptation on Monday and just kind of ate at you all through the week until it blossomed or blew up, whatever the case is, whatever the sin is. during the rest of the week, if there are desires that you have, things that you're not getting that you think you deserve, or you're getting something dumped on that you think you don't deserve, if they weigh on you all through the week, then it may blossom into the actual sin, or the outworking of that sin, but the real sin has actually started earlier. You're already craving something earlier in the week. For example in the booklet of Sally, who desires peace and finds a break by drinking, it could be that the stress of a difficult week, she starts craving a drink all the way on Monday and starts planning about how she's going to get it. All the way earlier than that. So it's an internal sin that then gets worked out and the sin against someone. For example, David and Bathsheba, he committed the actual sin of adultery, but what led up to that? Let me just open it up to you. What led up to his sleeping with Bathsheba? He looked and desired something that wasn't his. There's something about his inactivity that he was idle when he should have been busy about other work. Good, yeah. What about Moses? Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land because he struck the rock. But what led up to his striking the rock? Yeah, he did. It was 40 years in the making. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It was actually less than 40 years, I think, when he struck the rock. But he had something that led up to that. And you know, we're not psychoanalyzing Moses here, but he did pray that I have to lead a stiff-necked people. So there were things that led up to the sin. And don't belittle that. That's as much as part of the battle as the event, whatever that external event is.
I think there's a case that we've tried to justify because, you know, you read that passage and you kind of sympathize with Moses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, yet God said, speak, don't hit it. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that it just went to show that no one could be like Christ. Yeah. That even though we would have cut him slack, I mean, no one can be at Christ's level. So, you know, not even Moses.
Yeah. So. The meekest man in the Bible, Moses is called, and yet...
Did he write that?
History is going to be kind to Moses because he wrote it. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, he's wandering around.
Yeah.
Very annoying people.
Yeah.
Where do I want
to? Yeah.
Did that really start in having an unforgiving spirit? You know, I was thinking of how, you know, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you've got one brother that was just a real pill. And the other three were, they had the root of bitterness. And we can sympathize with them because he was.
Yeah.
Edmund really was really incorrigible.
Yeah.
And, isn't that, you know, the root of bitterness really sprung up in them and they said some things that threw him off.
Yeah. That's a good word too. That's the Hebrews uses that term, a root of bitterness. And that illustrates this point, the idea that it's something that grows over time, and then it bears bad fruit, but it's still sin in that process. Time's up on that one. I took a little much more time on that. Number four, bring your sin into the light of day. I'll just read here a quote from Lane. Sin grows most freely and swiftly in secret, so keeping your temptations and sins hidden is very dangerous. Your willingness to tell other wise Christians about your struggle shows how serious you are about changing, and your unwillingness to talk to others about it is an indication that you aren't as serious about changing as you might think. So sin likes to hide, and it's important to draw that sin into the light of day because it does not want to be there. And when you're serious about changing, draw in an accountability partner. Someone who will pray with you regularly, who will ask you the hard questions, the embarrassing questions of did you view pornography? Did you drink? Did you indulge whatever the sin is? One that will help you assess your heart and understand who you are and the circumstances and what values motivate you. Five, treat the Bible like good food. What Lane is getting at here is the putting off and putting on principle. You put off sin, you put on righteousness. And as you, as God remakes you, He remakes tastes as well, and develop good taste. If you fill your desires or fill your delight with those things that are good, it crowds out those things that are evil. So examples to not only read God's Word, but to memorize it, to think about it during the day. I know some of you have smartphones, and you've deliberately have Bible programs there, a verse of the day or something that brings that to you. So there are lots of ways that you can do that. Six, be prepared to take drastic action. Read Matthew 5, 27 through 30, and you'll see Jesus saying to pluck out your eye, cut off your hand. Now, we understand that Jesus is not telling you to literally do that. That would be a violation of the commandment to protect life. But he is speaking in an exaggerated way so as to make a point that you would take drastic action. What did Joseph do when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him?
He ran.
Yeah, he ran away. He took drastic action, even though it compromised his cushy job, his cushy position. He ran. He left his cloak behind, which was incriminating. He fled that temptation. You too may need to take drastic action. Proverbs 23:1-3 says, when you sit with the king, do not desire his dainties, but put a knife to your throat if you are given to those desires. It says it a lot better than I just paraphrased it there. There's a desire for eating that is dealt with drastically. Chocolate is has its own classification, I guess. I'll use pornography here because it's is one that has some some practical steps that you can deal drastically. Get software for your computer. Get rid of the internet. Learn to take drastic action. Don't go to bars. Don't shop when you're tired. Don't take time to pray when you return home and you're tired and you know that that's a temptation for you. So take drastic action. And seventhly, don't lose heart if your desires don't change quickly. God has claimed you for Himself, and that don't be complacent and think, well, it doesn't matter. God would have you change, and we believe that change is God's way and is possible. Don't just say, well, I'll always have this, so I'll learn to live with it. Instead, keep fighting in the midst of that. Romans 7 describes Paul's struggle with sin, as well as his assurance that Christ would not leave off his work. Change will probably be hard for you to notice day by day. But, Lord willing, if you would step back year by year, then you would notice change and be glad that the Spirit is at work. So don't lose heart. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. That was a little over 2 minutes per, but I hope that sparked some good thoughts for you, some very very practical strategies for you as you face temptation. I will invite you to bow in prayer as we close. Lord, we are talking very honestly about the temptations that we face, and while I've gone fairly quickly through some of these today, Lord, I pray that you would bring them to mind and help us to remember day by day that we belong to you. I do pray that you would help us to understand ourselves, our strengths, our weaknesses, our temptations, the things that we desire and motivate us, the idols of our heart. I pray, God, that you would help us to be smashing those idols in your strength and in your grace. And Lord, be building in us godly desires and godly tastes, and let those flourish in us. And then, Lord, I pray that you would help us to deal honestly and radically, if necessary, with besetting sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.